Okay.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I believe you're the first to arrive.
Okay, I'm probably going to go mute because I'm in Dallas again, so.
Well, I hope you're enjoying the grandchildren.
Yes, I am. Yeah, it's a blog.
Hello. Good afternoon. Shalom.
I think it's just me still, Honoke.
I think so also. But I thought I had heard somebody.
Oh, okay.
Is there somebody else on?
Not that I know of. I haven't heard.
Okay. Well, we'll just keep waiting until the 10 minutes or so.
Okay. Do it this way. The other way, this way.
Okay. I think you're still having trouble muting again.
Oh, okay, I'm gonna mute.
How are you? Go to the next one. Yes. Take one. No, they want to hand out money without the right card. No, they require the right. Yeah. I appreciate it. Yeah, not surprised.
Well, yes, I don't know how much staff have. 200 people there, right?
Yeah,
200. So, the people that serve food, the people that come in, it only takes one.
A lot.
I'll so you'll come by tomorrow afterwards.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good.
Take care.
You need the bag right now? Why you said something about the bag?
I was up against the
oh. Well, take care.
Thank
see you
me.
Later.
Appreciate it.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Has joined.
I'm sorry I'm late. I couldn't find my phone.
We've been having an interesting time. Lots of interruptions. Okay. But we can begin now. I believe Malka is the only other one on, and she's muted because she's in Texas. So we are, this is a deep Zohar class. We're studying the Sulam commentary on the Zohar from Parashat Vayera. Pasuk 229 is where we will begin after the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudshabarichu ishkite bidkilu urchimu udkilu udkilu urchimu le'ahta l'shem yudhe bavavhe. The Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah, Vayihinu Amadunai Elohinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kornei Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Korneihu. V'yalda v'yar lo, v'yarat likratam, v'yomer hine, Na Adonai Ba'alef Ba'alet Nun Yud Suru Na Gishu Na Mi Ba'ele Ya My Suru
has joined.
Ba'ahadara Lom Saharad Raneya Tveita Begindila Yehemun lom b'nei mata Wila ya'alun b'yorah meishar Leveita uginka uruna. The translation. This is the reason why Lot, seeing them run to meet them, why Lot, seeing them, ran to meet them. And he said, behold now, my lords. The Hebrew word is Adonai. And it's spelled Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. And this is a name of God, but in this context, it also has the meaning of Mr. or my lords. And this is true in modern Hebrew as well. That is the name of the Shekhinah. In our scriptures, it is not written, and he ran to meet them, but rather rose up to meet them. According to the Zohar, the words rose to meet them mean that he rose up and ran to meet them. Otherwise, it should have been written, he rose up before them. The verse continues, turn in, I pray you. And he asks, why is it written, turn in, I pray you? When it should have been written, draw near, I pray you. What is meant by turn in? And he responds, he did not want them to enter the house in the regular way, so his townspeople would not see them. And this is why he said, turn in, I pray you. My commentary, this pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. In my opinion, the term rise up or rose up can be an indication of rising to the spiritual level of these angels. What would accomplish this? The offer to assist them from a negative human being may be sufficient cleansing. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I hope somebody has some thoughts because I don't have any.
Well, the verse is really clear. The verse is saying these two angels have walked into the town of Sodom, and Lot sees them. Now, he's living among these people who constantly stress, do not give anything to a stranger. They shouldn't be allowed to eat in the town. They can buy food and leave, but they can't eat there. They can't get water there. They can buy the water and you know, take a drink and then move on. There's no welcoming in Sodom for any stranger. And he's been living there for a number of years. And now he sees these two strangers, and there's a reason why he ran to meet them. And then surreptitiously said, turn in here. And we're going to find out there are different midrashim as to what the meaning of these words are. But the real words are, the verse is saying that Lot rose up to greet them, to meet them. Lot rose up and he ran to them. There could be many reasons why he ran to them, but the operative words is rising up. Abraham did the same thing. There were three men that he saw, and he ran to meet them. He ran to meet them to give them hospitality. And we know the story of how he brought them a meal, and they had this conversation, and he left off of meditation with God, and a communication with God to run to the men. So it's all similar. Lot represents the evil inclination of Abraham. And Lot was separated from Abraham because Abraham had overcome his evil inclination, so he wasn't impacted by it anymore. And that's why what is the meaning of Lot separated from Abraham, and he went to live in Sodom to be with people like him. And this verse is really giving this idea that even though he's separated from Abraham and he's living among these evil people, he's still practicing hospitality. Hopefully that was helpful.
Well, I was remembering that he had seen the Shekinah, and so he needed the angel Raphael to be there to raise him up, because if you see the Shekinah, you're going to leave the world. So it was like, I didn't know if that we had accomplished that last week, and how it fit in with
these. Because as you said, we are taught in the Zohar in many places, when you see the Shekhinah, your soul leaves your body. And what brings your soul back to your body is a resurrection, is the healing, which is Raphael. And that's what we discussed last week. Who are the two angels that were coming? One is Gabriel, who's bringing the destruction to Sodom, and one is Raphael, bringing the healing to Lot. So you did have some thoughts, Anna.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 230. Rabbi Hizkiah Petah Ki Hu Lik So Aretz Yabit Tachat Kol B'Shamayim Yireh Kama Yidlon Libeh Nasha Listakala Yovado Dekut Shabarichu Ulishta Dala Beoraita Yamama Velele Beko Mandi Ishta Dal Beoraita Dut Shabarichu Ishta Bach Beya Leelau Ishta Bach Beya Letata Begin Deoraita Ilana Dechayei Lekolinun Diaskin Balamechav Lon Chayin Dialma Ein Ulmehav Lon Chayin Dialma Diate Translation. Rabbi Hizkiah began the discussion by saying, it is written, for he looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heaven. How important it is for all human beings to observe the works of the Holy One, blessed be he, and to study Torah day and night. He who studies the Torah is glorified by the Holy One, blessed be he, on high and down below. Because the Torah is the tree of life for all those who occupy themselves in it. It grants them life in this world and offers them life in the world that is coming. My commentary. The pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Notice the difference in phrasing between granting life and offering life. What do you think the meaning of offering life means? Do people have a choice to live in the coming world? Questions, comments, thoughts?
I didn't notice the difference between grant and offer, but I would think that it's going to take effort. You know, for the world to come, and almost everything has a hierarchy and different levels.
Yes.
So I would imagine, you know, that all plays a part in where your place will be, I guess, in the world to come. But I do remember making a comment about that verse of how, you know, I could spend 24 hours a day. In fact, just before the class started, I read something that I had written back in June 2012, and it was the gematria of Lev and the gematria of glory, and they're saying, you know, Torah is glorified by the Holy One, and that was the reference, that the two both had the same gematria, and I kind of could link the word glory with Hashem in the spiritual world and having a heart for Torah from, you know, here in this world that it was given to us.
Did you write down what word you were using for glory?
It probably was, I didn't write it, but I know kavod is, so would that be 32? Would that be
kavod? No. Kavod is 100, so it can't be kavod. It would be the kaf, then it would be 20, but mm-hmm. Then it would be it would be 30 or 20, 26. So I don't see it being 32, which would be lev. That's why I was asking. But
it was from the book, The Bahar. It was something I read way back in 2012.
I understand, and you may very well have it correct. It's just I don't remember the word.
Well, they didn't give the word kavod, so they just said glory. Oh. They could have meant awe. You never know. And it's
that's always the problem with translations, as we both know.
Mm-hmm.
But the question here, you touched on it right at the beginning of your comment when you said it that.
Grant and offers.
Right. A granting of something is a gift. You don't have to earn it. And it's just there. And if something like life is granted, you take it for granted. You don't appreciate it. And that's pretty much most people in our generation. It's a miracle that we can take a breath and they're alive.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't appreciate that we can take a breath, and we don't perceive it as something important until we lack it. If you have difficulty breathing, like what's going on with the symptoms of the COVID virus, you have difficulty breathing, you appreciate breathing because you're struggling for it. But the word grant implies a lack of appreciation. The word grant implies you don't have to earn it. It implies that it's a gift. The offering of life implies that you have to do something to receive life. And these translations, they're different words. Otherwise, they would have translated it the same, because the same person translates each verse. Maybe different people translating different verses, but a verse is translated by the same person. So it had to be two different words that's being discussed here. So do we have to earn life? And I'm raising the question, do we have to earn life in the world that is coming? Or then it becomes a grant. It becomes a gift, because we earn it by having gone through the pain and suffering of this life, the physical world. And there's a lot to contemplate there. It's not clear, because none of us have experienced the world that is coming yet. Or if we think we have experienced it, it's not something that we could share that experience with others. We probably have time today to do one more verse. Let's do 231. Tachate ki uli tzod haaretz yabit lemehav lo mezona usapaka lo mikoma de itzteriku begindi hu ashka Vada tir diti amidene Hashem elokeha Vame reshit Hashana viad aharishana. Come and see. It is written, for he looks to the ends of the earth in order to supply them with food and provide for their needs. The earth is Malchut. The ends of the earth refers to all that issues from her, because it is he who takes care of her always. As it is written, the eyes of Hashem, your Elohim, are always upon it, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. The ends of the earth refer to the souls that flow through Malchut to its final destination for this lifetime in this body. This is my opinion. Questions, comments, thoughts.
I don't think I would have seen that as a meaning without Rabbi Ashleg's comment. I mean, it does say the earth Malkut, so you get that and you realize her is Malkut, but the meaning of ends of the earth, I think that would have taken a lot of time to associate it with the souls of Malkut.
And actually what the verse is saying, that the ends of the earth is what grows out of the earth, or the minerals that are mined from the earth.
Well, it's really everything, isn't it? Because doesn't everything have a soul? Maybe not like the soul of a human, but everything does have a soul.
Correct.
And of Hashem.
Right.
And I think you appreciate that when you kind of understand it when you understand from reincarnation that like Balaam reincarnated into a stone. You know, that's when you really, besides just seeing living things and know that it had to be a part of an essence of Hashem, in Genesis when he that he created those things. And
yes.
I think any time we do something, that we make something with our hands, I mean, part of our essence goes into that particular thing, you know, so you can well see that everything on the earth that he's taking care of them.
And unfortunately, we take it for granted.
Well, I think when you've had, you know, you've had some experience that you just know it had to be super. You know, it's like those little checks I get. They're not very big, but the person.
But there's always timing to this.
We're gonna. You washed his clothes and. So we're going to compensate you for that, and then this year's compensation. Well, you know, those are the kind of things where you know that it's Hashem. And I needed the extra money to be able to do the things with the ladies' meeting. I needed to buy folders and paper and ink and food and, you know, paper plates and all. So it was there when I needed it. And that was way back. He worked that job way back in the 80s. And someone had told me, you know, you can go because they're giving to the wives who wash the clothes of the men who were exposed to the asbestos. And I said, I'm not going. But then they called me. So that made a difference, you know. And I didn't have it. The x-ray showed I didn't have it, but they said, well, we're going to compensate you anyway. So, I mean, it may be a lawyer's thing, but the little checks have come in right at the right time. They don't come very often, and they're not very big, but it wasn't money I expected. So it's little things like that you see Hashem taking care of what you need. at the time that you need it.
Yes.
Even today, I wanted a mirror, a little small mirror to put in my bathroom so I could see the back of my hair when I comb my hair. And the lady across the street came and brought me a mirror. I just said, I'm going to, to myself, you know, I'm going to look online and see if I can find, you know, and not expensive mirror because I can't go shopping. And I said, well, can I give you some money for it? Well, you know what she told me? For all the things Tony has done for me, no, you cannot give me any money. So, I mean, those are just little things, but it's little things like that.
The little things that give us pleasure in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Notice the language.
It's going to be a big thing. Like, let's say we reach a point where food is a problem. You know that somehow it will come through.
Amen.
Because you always have those other things to remember back that maybe nobody else knew about, but you had voiced it, and it happened.
I can back up Hannah's story about the food coming when you need it. I needed to go to the store, but I was, you know, watching my coins.
Has joined.
A friend of mine came one Sunday morning, and I was watering my garden. And they opened the trunk of their car, and they said, here, we got one for us, but we got a box for you, too. And when I opened it up, it was all of the things that I said I needed to get at the store. And they were kosher.
Oral Christian. And I can add to it as well, because there was a period of a few months when I was literally homeless, having gotten into an argument with my family and essentially walked away from the family business and turned over the keys to my sister. We had an agreement that she didn't honor. And so I was homeless, without money for food, did not have a car. And in Los Angeles, without a car, you have major problems. And I'm walking down the street, and somebody comes up to me and says, you look hungry. Why don't you stop into this kosher restaurant over here and get a hamburger? And he handed me $10, which was the exact cost of the hamburger from that stand. So I understand it. I relate to it. And it teaches you appreciation. But one thing I do want to point out, and then we're out of time. The phraseology, the sentence is translated, the eyes of Hashem, your Elohim, are always upon it, meaning Malchut, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And this is a verse from Devarim. It's part of Moses' statement of chastisement to the children of Israel, to us in our generation as well. So what is the idea of the eyes? As a code word from Kabbalah, the eyes is Chachmah. Hashem Yir Elohim, this is Zeran Pin and Malchut, or Bina and Zeran Pin. The beginning of the year is Reshit Shana. Beginning is Reshit, which is also hot. To the end of the year. So what is the end of the year? The end of the year is the Malchut. But why would you phrase it this way? There's a lot of contemplation that needs to go into that phraseology.
I see that wherever you are on the tree of life, in any circumstance, that Hashem is there with you, whether you're on Kevorah or you're on Hod.
That's absolutely true, Hannah, and it is an explanation. But there's some other explanations as well.
I'm sure of that.
And that's why I'm saying it needs to be contemplated.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's telling us, it's pointing us in directions. If we would only just open our eyes to see those directions.
End of the year at Kippur. I always have a feeling, you know, like after Yom Kippur, it's like new, you know, Sukkot and Simchat Torah. And, you know, to me, it's like, it's almost like the school year, even though it's September, you have this new year feeling, you know.
There's a, I just read it, not today, but I think on Sunday evening. This idea of the sixth day, it doesn't say Yom Shishi, it says Yom HaShishi. And what is the meaning of the hey at the beginning of the word? Is it makes it a definite article. So it is the sixth day. And the sixth day is, the sages tell us, is the end days, the days that we are in. But this understanding of what is the meaning of the hay? Why is it a definite connection? Sure, mankind is created on the sixth day. But what I was reading is that the 3 weeks, the negative 3 weeks is 21 days. And the idea of the negative 3 weeks is balanced by three positive 3 weeks. But where are those positive 3 weeks? They're the 3 weeks from Rosh Hashanah to Hoshana Rabbah, to Simchat Torah. The negative 21 days are in the year, but they're balanced by the positive 21 days. That's Rosh Hashanah through Simchat Torah. And that is the meaning of the hay, because there are five aspects that we give up in both of those periods. The five things we give up on Tisha B'Av are the same five things we give up on Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm definitely out of time, so hopefully we'll see you in the late class when we'll be studying some of the material from the Ari. Shalom Gadol.
So you end with a cliffhanger.
Say again?
You end the class with a cliffhanger.
Isn't that what I'm supposed to do?
I suppose.
I give you 2 hours to think about it before I give you 2 hours of thinking about something else.
I know.
I'm still reading the last half.
handout from the RE. I did that all day Shabbat. I bet I read it 5 times.
It was a very, very powerful.
It really was. I skipped the ones in the garden, but everything else, I just kept repeating, rereading it, and rereading it, and rereading. And so the RE is... awesome. Okay, thank you.
Thank you
tonight.
Shalom.
Shalom.